after Visual Studio 6.0, we were in a very interesting position. We were, at the time, the market leaders. We had this great tool in Visual Basic. We had this rabid fan base of Fox Pro developers, and we were hitting our stride. Everything was going perfectly. And then Java hit.
Yeah, at that time, there weren't that many competitors in the tooling space. Definitely for us, you know, Java was something that we were kind of worried about.
Java was this promise that you could write code and run it anywhere on any other application, on any other computing platform. That changed everything. Everyone ran for Java, and so we had to respond.
We signed a license with Sun to go and build a Java development tool. We wanted to build a great dev tool to build Windows applications in using Java. And that was sort of the focus of Visual J++. It was the market-leading Java development tool of its time.
Well, we worked on it for a couple of years, and we built what I think was actually a great development tool, and we added a bunch of extensions that were specific to Windows because we wanted it to not just be a great Java development tool, but also a great tool for writing Windows apps.
We were going to let the Java language run on our platform, and we got into some legal issues around that one.
We shipped that, I think, in the summer of 98, and then we had this big lawsuit that immediately followed, and within a couple of months, I think three, the product was enjoined by a judge, and we had to put in big warning dialogues.
So at the end of 98, we were in Sun Valley, and we were all having dinner, and then they came in and sort of told us, okay, you know, those of you on the right-hand side of the table, you still have products. Those of you on the left-hand side of the table, feel free to go work on something else.
Well, I mean, it was demoralizing at first, you know, because it really was all about politics and not about technical at all, which is, you know, what the team was good at.
In no uncertain terms, it pissed me off. We did a great job, and I think that's what really scared them, is they thought, you know, they sat down there and thought, oh, this is something that'll kill Microsoft. Yeah, we finally got those bastards. And we came out and produced a tool which basically developers said, well, okay, this is what I want. And they started building apps, and these guys all freaked out and went running to the courts.
I think in a sense, though, it became the worst of times and the best of times because it also gave us clarity about, you know, we need to control our own destiny here about where we're going to go with developers for the next several decades.
Not being able to do J++ because of the lawsuit, it was with both a challenge and an opportunity.
We looked at what C++ had. We looked at what functional programming languages had. We looked at what Java offered, and this sort of thing. And so we said, okay, you know, we have a pretty good idea of what customers liked about the language, what they wouldn't like about, you know, a language. And we sat down and started work on building or designing a new language.
Well, so I was part of the group that initially advocated that we should build a new programming language. We were not going to get there by making small changes to C++, and we can't convince everybody to program in BASIC. We need a new language in the C, C++ family to sort of move up the abstraction level.
C++, a terrible, terrible language. An awful language, and basically it's unlearnable and unknowable, and I know there are people out there who are good at C, but it's just not a tool for the masses.
C++ is not the worst programming language ever invented. Some would argue COBOL is the worst programming language ever invented, but C++ is a tool that's designed for sophisticates.
C++ traditionally is a lower level language. It gives you a lot of rope, and some people say it gives you enough rope that you can go hang yourself. You know, so you can do pretty much anything you want, but it takes more of an effort.
You know, every language builds on previous languages and learns lessons from previous languages, and so C# certainly, you know, inherited certain characteristics from Java as a language, as well as C as a language. And you know, I think what Anders did with it was just spectacular, where he then took it to the next level.
C# is a programming language in the a programming language that runs on the .NET common language runtime. It's a language that is in the C and C++ and Java family of languages, so it sort of looks very familiar to a C or C++ or Java programmer.
C Sharp is most of the magic of C++, with a lot of the power, with a lot of the simplicity of Visual Basic combined. So if you take the power of C++ and the productivity of Visual Basic, in the middle you'll find C Sharp. And as a developer, there's a lot of developers that were very high-end VB developers that wanted to make the leap to C++, but they found that it was too hard. It was just too complicated. C Sharp gave them most of the power of C++ with most of the simplicity of Visual Basic. So it was this great kind of connection between the two.
Personally, I had seen certainly in-house that developers were very happy using the language, and so we weren't just, you know, throwing it out there without any code being written in it. We had written pretty much the whole framework in C Sharp and large parts of Visual Studio in C Sharp as well. So by the time it reached customer hands, it was actually already pretty solid.
In my opinion, the war was net of all the legal crap that was going on. In my opinion, the war was about winning the developer platform. And it started with the announcement of .NET.
.NET 1.0 was something we kind of unveiled on the world in June of 2000 at the PDC. And it was a big surprise to everyone. You know, a lot of people, I think, went to that PDC thinking they were going to hear more of kind of the same old, same old.
Not a lot of information had leaked about it. And whatever had leaked sounded so far-fetched that no one believed it.
At the time, Microsoft itself, we really didn't talk a lot about future development. In fact, I'd actually worked on this system for, you know, over 3 years and hadn't told anybody about it, right? And so at that point, being able to announce the product and show it, like when we went to the PDC in Orlando, it was amazing.
You know, there were definitely a lot of people that were wondering, you know, was Microsoft going to be continue to be big in the developer tools business or in the developer business. You know, there was lots of excitement around Java, the internet. I mean, that was a lot of skeptics at that time.
Scott McNeely from Sun had some great quotes where he was calling .NET not yet. And the press absolutely loved it because, oh, okay, we have, you know, these two rival companies and this guy that's not afraid to just trash, you know their competitors.
And there we were, actually, boom, you know, this whole completely game-changing thing, you know, compared to what our developers were using currently.
We actually showed a combined call stack that included, I believe it was COBOL and C Sharp in one call stack, and I was kind of sitting in the back of the main auditorium, and everybody erupts in applause.
And everyone looked around and said, oh, goodness, this is a competitor to Java, the one we've been waiting for.
Which language do you want to use?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of it's an audience involvement thing. Maybe the audience should choose which language. C Sharp, VB.
I kind of looked at my teams, you know, for a second there. I was like, well, what's the big deal? And it's like, we finally realized, like, wow, I mean, that's the first time you really had that great kind of in-route between languages. That was the promise of the system.
I heard C Sharp, I heard COBOL, I heard Fortran.
I promise later on we'll get the COBOL fans.
That was one of the highlights for my career, was just watching the audience get into it. And, you know, an hour or two into the keynote going, holy cow.
At the time, all these different Java vendors, IBM and so forth, were building what were reference applications. And what it was an e-commerce store for selling. It was pet shop or pet store where, you know, you could have product listings, there's a shopping cart, you could check out of the shopping cart, etc. This is how you should design Java applications. Well, we said, okay, well, what if we use our technology and build the exact same application, exact same features, shopping cart, product features, checkout, everything, but we'll do it on .NET. And we unveiled that at PDC 2001 in the keynote, and this is, you know, one of those crazy things where did the exact same application 2,700% faster, and I think it was a third or a fifth of the code.
But the thing was, we also gave developers bits to work with. So people walked out of there with stuff they could put on their machine and actually see that it was real. And I think that that silenced, obviously, a lot of the skeptics.
The challenge was to tell customers, it was like, take the Pepsi challenge. Try our stuff. We'll give you our tools for free. We'll give you, you know, your developers free training. Just try our stuff. If you don't like it, you know, we'll go away. And more often than not, people loved our technology.
And then we shipped the final release about 18 months later, beginning in 2002.
VisualStudio.net was the biggest release that we've ever seen. I was so excited to be working on this thing because we were able to kind of unshackle ourselves and rethink about all the problems that we were having at the time.
I think we've kind of changed some of the equations. So whereas you used to have to spend an inordinate amount of time doing, you know, what might be some grungy programming kind of stuff, you know, do you really need to spend your time doing that? There's still hard problems for me to solve as a developer, but the amount of code that I can write and the way the code looks is so much better than what we used to have.
The war was Java versus .NET, and the Java folks had a huge jump on us.
It's a no-brainer to choose .NET over Java, and that was like one of the big things where customers really started saying, like, wow, there are no reasons, you know, outside of religious reasons, to not choose .NET over Java.
Ultimately, that's what won the war. You know, it's just more inexpensive, and the time to market is quicker in .NET than it is in Java. That's what won the war. It's all about money, unfortunately.
I mean, I think Java's important, but market share has not really shown that Java has been the Microsoft or Windows killer that we perhaps expected it would be.
Oh, if you told me 7 years ago that we'd be even with Java today, I thought there's no way this is going to happen. So I'm very happy with that. Yeah, but of course that doesn't mean we're done. But it's a nice milestone. Yeah.
We want to make sure that as people enter the profession of programming, that they can start with our development tools, and these tools can keep growing as they get out in the world professionally.
Visual Studio Express really is a family name for a set of products. So it's VB, C Sharp, VWD, and J Sharp for a little bit, because we actually had a Java product for our customers that had committed to Java at the time, and C++. So what was different there is we wanted to build a set of products that were for beginners, hobbyists, and students, and really lower the friction for people to learn Visual Studio.
Development has become so complex that trying to get a handle on these use cases has become so difficult that it almost seems like there's a lot of complaints that the tools are not really helping anybody because they're for everybody. It's not like an early Visual Basic where you can just build an app in an hour. Right? It's much more complex than that, and it's sort of made it, it's one of the challenges that I know they're continuing to deal with, and it's one of the complaints you hear a lot, is it's just, you know, it's too complex, it's too difficult to get a handle on, and there's too much going on.
And really with Visual Studio Express, like the big thing we wanted to do was ship simplicity as a feature. So instead of having 10 options to build, there's one option to build. Instead of having, you know, 4 different ways to access data, there's one way to access data. And really simplifying the experience.
It's just not that hard to build good software anymore because of the tools and plumbing that Microsoft has given us. That is the honest truth. Pisses people off because developers think they're so smart and so unique and typically. When really, it's an occupation that should not be limited to rocket scientist people. And Microsoft has helped facilitate that. You don't have to be a genius to be an application developer.
Making Visual Studio Express free was probably one of the biggest challenges I've had in my career at Microsoft. I've been here for 8 years, and it was absolutely the biggest uphill battle. We want to democratize development, make it easy for anyone to be able to build an application in a couple hours. And that's really what our goal was. How do we make it easy to download, get the product, build the application that you're looking to build? Within 2 days of Beta 1 releasing, we had over 200,000 downloads of the product. 200,000 downloads is huge. Over time, I think we had in 2005, 17 million downloads of Visual Studio Express. I have yet to find a developer tool that has been downloaded more times than Visual Studio Express. It's just become a huge success. Anybody that's doing, you know, basic HTML editing would use it. It's a free tool, you know, and people love the product, which was the other thing that we saw.
Probably the biggest thing that happened in Visual Studio 2005 is we created these new application lifecycle management tools, Visual Studio Team System, helped developers work collaboratively with their peers.
We made the product a lot easier to use, you know, for Windows Forms and ASP.NET. But in addition to that, probably the biggest thing we did is we added the Team System, you know, suite product of offering. So basically ALM, Application Lifecycle Management. So source code control, the ability to do advanced development and you know, architecture and things like that as well. So that was a big, big, big major release for us.
And then obviously 2005 with VSTS, you know, we brought out for the first time and really start to allow companies and development teams to kind of bridge tester and developer and kind of a whole workflow.
Everybody gets to see how it's going in the progress and chained and almost like a workflow, if you will, for how the product's going. The project manager gets this summary view and says, oh, wow, you know, the tester's finished and the developer's finished, and I now have this progress reporting. That stuff wasn't built. It was a really big expansion for our product.
SQL developers, people that build code that resides in SQL, in SQL databases, they used to write this stuff in Transact SQL. And Transact SQL as a programming language is something that only a mother can love. So we integrated the framework into SQL Server that enabled you then, in the context of the SQL Server database, to write using Visual Basic or C Sharp, and build applications directly, you know, and write the appropriate code.
At the macro level, we did a number of features down in the runtime. We did the generics features, you know, with the, that enabled some of the future innovations. We did integration with SQL Server and other database products and things like that. We just did a number of scalability issues and perf, and we worked on a whole bunch of things like that. When you get into Visual Studio itself, then we added a lot of features there around new designers.
But I think one of the biggest challenges for both Microsoft and for the developers that use Visual Studio is trying to avoid the did anyone ever look at this before it went out the door problem. And you hear a lot of that in a lot of different areas, whether it's the help system, which has been soundly reviled, I think, probably since the dawn of time. I mean, I suspect that the manual that came with the wheel was probably, you know, beaten to death with a club because it wasn't adequate.
What's also interesting at the time, 2004, is when blogs started getting interesting and everybody started talking about blogging. And the Visual Studios team started saying, how can we incorporate customer feedback and do this in an open and transparent way? We started this thing called Ladybug. And what it was giving people a direct voice into filing feature requests or filing bugs against the product. And you can actually vote things up. Like, what is your biggest feature request that you want fixed?
I think all of us that work on the project, you know, when something doesn't go well, take it personally. You know, we think of this as our baby. And so, you know, if people don't like a feature, then yeah, it's like someone stabbing you. You take it personally, and which is good. I mean, it's both bad because it means you don't sleep, but it's good in the sense of, you know, we're passionate around the product.
I think one of the great cultural changes that we've made, especially in the developer division over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years, we've spent a lot more time trying to be open and transparent about here's what we're doing, here's what we're working on. And so, for example, you know, I didn't have a blog. None of us had blogs. Didn't even know what a blog was, you know, some number of years ago.
I thought, you know, what should I blog about? I finally said, you know, let me make it simple. I'm just going to tell the world that, you know, hey, I'm going to start blogging. That was sort of the theme of my first blog post.
But really, that's become an integrated part of how we communicate with our development. I get generally 2 or 3 customer questions a day just coming through from my blog saying, hey, I had a gentleman in China just yesterday trying to get the C++ compiler working for a kernel driver. Able to hook him up and answer a question. We turn around, I've actually released the new UI for the latest product, so people could see it before they can even touch it. And actually, they gave me feedback. We've actually already changed it before the beta.
What was surprising there was, while the top of our top customers said refactoring is the most important feature, when we actually saw the feedback in Ladybug, edit and continue was the number one requested feature. I mean, they worked their butts off to get that feature into the product and shipping in Visual Studio 2005. People don't realize just how late that work started and how Herculean it was across all the teams to make it started, and it was because the community had voted for it.
So knowing that, you know, I can reach, you know, a broad, you know, set of my customers around the world, no matter where they are geographically situated, and knowing that, and particularly the developer audience, you know, one interesting attribute about them is, A, they are honest people, B, they keep us honest.
I think the 2008 release, it didn't change the world in a fundamental way. And it didn't try to change the world in a fundamental way. It instead said, hey, let's make web apps better. Let's make client apps better. Let's make the language features better. And so it was, I think, a nice release in that it just made a lot of things better and didn't fundamentally change the model on people.
We concentrated on doing a lot of work inside of the IDE and the languages. I would say one of the really, you know, very interesting and compelling features in that release was the introduction of Link, Language Integrated Query. It was a kind of a really great way to think about writing code that Anders Heilsberg, you know, came up with.
So one of the things we focus a lot on is this thing we call code-focused development, and it boils down to the ability to do code refactorings or have the development environment rewrite your code for you with a deep understanding of what the code does.
You know, ordinarily I would write all of this, you know, procedural code that might be hundreds of lines of open this and loop that and blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, gosh, you know, SQL did such a great job with their grammar. Right? Like, why can't you just do that in a language? So conceptually, I like to think of it that way, where I can just say, well, look, I'm coming from this document, I'm comparing to that database, I'm pulling it all together.
We're actually right now at a particularly sort of tricky point because I don't know if you've noticed, but everybody is starting to get multiple CPUs in their machines now, you know, dual cores, quad cores, and so forth, and that's because some fundamental we've run up against some fundamental limits now in transistor speed. We can't crank up the clock rate anymore because things start to melt down if we crank it up anymore. So things are not getting faster anymore. However, we can still fit more CPUs on circuits, so now we get more of them. And now the challenge for us as programming language designers is to figure out how do you use multiple CPUs in a program when everybody was taught to program single-threaded, and that's a big challenge. It's the concurrency challenge, and it's not an easy one. It's probably one of the biggest challenges we've seen for software in the last several decades. But that's what makes the job interesting too. You know, there's you never stand still.
There are roughly 8 million professional developers worldwide. Well over half of them are programming on Microsoft, using Microsoft, using Visual Studio. So it's a significant number, over 4 million.
And I have kids that work for me today that are totally spoiled by tools like Visual Studio. They just had no idea how difficult it was to build software 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Visual Studio has been the most popular development tool with developers around the world for a long time now. And one of the main reasons is because we always, you know, focus on developer productivity.
When you're a Windows developer, you're also a mobile developer and a web developer and a server-side developer and on and on and on. You're a cloud developer now with Visual Studio 2010. And so now that was one key idea that we brought forward. Another key idea that we brought forward is around language. So we really said, hey, look, this idea of bring us your language and we will bring that to our platform. And so we worked with third parties that build programming languages outside of what we do.
We are making language improvements both in Visual Basic and C#, and we are introducing new things like F#. In addition to that, we've added new tooling for other platforms. So SharePoint tools, for example, is a brand new place where we've added tools.
You know, if you're interested in doing functional programming, we now have first-class support for a new programming language called F# in Visual Studio 2010. You know, if you're interested in dynamic languages, we support that.
There are dozens and dozens of languages out there that are from other companies, from other partners, that can layer right down on top of Microsoft, on top of Visual Studio, and you can have a first-class experience for building applications, whatever programming language you prefer.
You know, we've always talked about, you know, achieving a certain level of language parity between VB and C#. And I would say that the language parity that we are able to deliver with Visual Studio 2010 far exceeds what we've ever done so far.
So what can I tell you about VS 2010? Well, it's quite simply, it is the best development tool that anyone can ever buy. In fact, you should buy one for yourself, your mother, and in fact, give them out as Christmas presents.
Visual Studio 2010 provides you great support for test-driven development, if that's a technique that you want to use in your development environment.
And then we've never stopped actually innovating on the web. So all the stuff you've seen with Silverlight, MVC controllers, things like that, those will come along as well. We've also made a big investment in parallel computing. So we have runtime libraries and profilers and debuggers and tools for doing that kind of work as well.
Parallel programming is restricted to an elite few people who have access to massively parallel processing systems, right? Now, with the advent of multiple cores and many cores coming in today's chips and today's computers, it makes it a great opportunity for us to figure out how we are going to enable the broad developer base to be able to easily parallelize their application. That's something that we are taking the first few steps along that journey in Visual Studio 2010. We've got support in libraries, we've got support in language extensions, we've got support in tools to be able to enable you as a developer to start taking the first steps in terms of figuring out how you can parallelize your application so that you take full advantage of the hardware capabilities that are coming in today's computers.
The big news is Visual Studio Team System, massive release for that product. So the architecture box, the architecture product is dramatically improved. We can, with the architecture tools, you can explore your existing application, interrogate what's already there, visually depict what your architecture is and compare it to what you think it is, and then you can make it the way you want it to be. So that's brilliant.
If you think about some of the new platforms that are coming out of Microsoft, it could be SharePoint Server, it could be the cloud computing platform or the cloud service, Windows Azure. We provide tools support for that in Visual Studio 2010.
We're actually making the product WPF enabled, so we're using our own, we call it using our own dog food. It basically means, hey, we ship .NET Framework 4.0, we're built on top of .NET Framework 4.0. We ship WPF, we're using WPF. So we have really great vector graphics built in for the engine.
We are giving you a lot of new tools in the testing space. We made a ton of investments there, and we got a very comprehensive tools offering for the tester. Starting from manual, our test case management, being able to deal with your manual tests, being able to do functional testing, load testing, stress testing, being able to do test case prioritization. We just have an end-to-end set of functionality in the test tool space.
One of the biggest challenges is if you're a manual tester, if you're working by yourself, and you are just manually testing an application, there hasn't been a great tool for you. So now we've built a tool exclusively for the manual tester.
That is another functionality that we are providing in our Visual Studio Team System suite. You want to be able to capture the state of the application as you go along, so that in the case there is a problem, you run into a problem, the application crashes, or the application generates an exception or gets into some other kind of problem, and you can sort of go back in time, you can walk through, debug the as the state progresses after the fact.
We record what happened on the developer, on the tester's box when they were doing the test. And so we can now prove to the developer that the bug actually happened. They can see the video and see, oh yes, in fact, that's a real bug. Then we can actually step through, like TiVo, we can step through the experience that the tester was experiencing as if we were actually running on their box.
And with Visual Studio 2010, for the first time, we are going to deliver tooling support inside in a Visual Studio, so that you as a developer, we want to make it easy for you to be able to build, debug, and more importantly, deploy your application to the cloud.
We've introduced another new set of functionality there as well. We have a new lab management product for virtualization. We have new things for running manual test cases and also UI and record and playback feed work.
We've rewritten it in Windows Presentation Framework from the ground up, and that's going to create an incredible experience for people, that we can do amazing things where we can co-mingle your code with graphics, with objects, so that you can see the diagram of what your code should look like layered over top of your code.
The mantra that I say is, hey, you want to learn once and then be able to reuse your skills, your knowledge, your experience, no matter what you're going to do tomorrow, because fundamentally we have one integrated development environment. So between high levels of productivity and making sure that we have a consistent tooling experience, we think those are some of the reasons why Visual Studio continues to be a very favorite tool among developers around the world.
The biggest challenge to stay on top is you have to be eternally vigilant. You have to know your competition better than they know themselves. You have to understand what's happening in Eclipse. You have to understand what's happening on the web. You have to decide whether this Ruby thing is it bluster or is it real. Right, you have to always be looking at these things and figuring out. You can chase some of these things, and you'll chase them off a cliff. You got to be careful about what's going on in the industry and making sure that Some of these things are fat.
The keeping the software ahead of hardware innovation, it can be hard. You have things like, mobile environments, much smaller devices and things like that. We provide, tooling for that. I think another interesting inflection point is the cloud. And, in the future, will I ever even see the hardware that I run my code on? Well, frankly, if I host my own websites today, I don't, right? I just basically upload my website and I probably let a hoster take care of it. What if more and more of my code runs that same way?
If I look at the next 5 to 10 years, I actually feel, even more excited about what Visual Studio can do. If there is a piece of code that you don't need to write, that somebody else can write, then we should be able to figure out how we can, write that for you so that you don't have to spend your time on that. At the end of the day, you as a developer, I really want you to focus on writing the code that only you can write and not on anything else.
I think we have many areas that we want to push into. We definitely want to make programmers more productive, keep raising the abstraction level.
Wouldn't it be nice if you, go into the browser, click on a URL, and boom, there is a development environment that you can get started with right then and there.
I think there's some interesting stuff happening between static and dynamic programming languages and more interactive programming experiences that we're looking at. So there are many different things that we're looking to push into. Yeah.
I think every time you think we've got it all, I like to go back and look at the pictures from your family reunion from 20 years ago. Right? Okay, where was your cell phone? You got your big honking TV, Did you even have anything but a hardwired line coming? Like, things change, very rapidly with the computing power that comes out.
This whole industry was built on constant innovation. And, the minute we stop innovating, then we're done, right? Then we can just go home.
There is the opportunity to use software and technology to be able to solve problems that are unsolved. So in some sense, I feel really, really, thrilled about the kinds of impact that we are able to make with the world at large through the work that we do in Visual Studio and .NET Framework.
That's the fun thing about this industry is that I can use my skill sets and apply them forward, but it's always going to be changing.
There's always a bold promise with Visual Studio. It's never perfect. We always have another version coming, and its bold promise is to make things easier and better. And in its current build right now, today, we're not there yet. But by the time it ships at the end of the year, we will be.
What better place to be than being sort of at the center of the universe? I'm excited that I'm here.